Good morning, Cornerstone. It's good to spend another Lord's Day morning in worship in our homes. And just as the writers of the New Testament made use of various means of communication when they could not communicate in person, so we make use now of this means a video, though it would be far better if I was speaking to you right here in these pews this morning. We are thankful that we can worship our Lord in every place, at every time, in all circumstances. He is both worthy to be worshiped, and by His Spirit we can worship Him. So we want to do that this morning as we sit under His word. So let's turn to that word, Luke chapter 9 this morning. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 and we will read this morning beginning in verse 23. Luke 9 verse 23. And Jesus said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." Let's pray. Father, as we spend these next few minutes under your word, as we hear this instruction in discipleship, this unfolding of the path of discipleship, Lord, would you work in us true faith in the Son of God? Would you work in us a deep reliance upon your Spirit? Would you work in us what you outline for us in this passage concerning the true definition of discipleship? Father, we look to you, we need you, and we look to your promise to provide for your people and to receive all that come to you in Jesus Christ. So we pray this in his name. Amen. Very often in life, whether it's in agreements that we come to or make between ourselves, whether it's in business dealings, whether it's in the appeal of various sales pitches, oftentimes what we have in the front or what is front-loaded is the benefit, is the easy thing, the good thing, what is appealing to you. And what is hidden in those circumstances so often, deep down in the fine print, are the difficult things, the expectations, the demands, the requirements. When someone tries to get you to buy a new vehicle, they want you to think about the options, they want you to think about the benefits, they want you to think about the usefulness, and they want to try to minimize the reality that if you're buying this new vehicle and you're going to have to be putting all this money up front or you're going to be locked into all these payments. And in so many different ways, in so many different areas of life, what gets hidden away is the cost, is the difficulty, is the challenge. And Jesus is not like that at all. Jesus never hides the hard words. Jesus never sort of puts out there this benefit, this beautiful thing, and then hides the difficult thing, only to bring it up later and say, "Ha, you didn't read the fine print. Here it goes." Jesus regularly in his instruction, he front loads the hard things. He front loads the difficulties. And what we want to look at this morning is one of those instances. The question that we have before us this morning and the implication of the question is this. The question is, so you want to follow Jesus. Have you grappled with the difficult definition of discipleship? If you're sitting there this morning and you have received the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and you are walking in new life in Him, then you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. Every disciple of Jesus Christ walks this difficult path of discipleship. Jesus doesn't hide the definition of discipleship only to bring it up way down the road. He brings it to us right at the beginning, right at the forefront. He throws it up there and makes us wrestle with this reality. And that's what we want to do in these minutes this morning. If you want to follow Jesus, you must grapple with the difficult definition of discipleship. And so what's the definition? That's what Jesus gets right to in this passage this morning in Luke chapter 9. Now let's just remember what's happened. Jesus has drawn out his disciples in identifying, in confessing his true identity as the Christ of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One. And not only that, he has expanded their understanding in terms of showing them that he is the Christ, but he is the suffering Christ. The path that he will walk, the work that he will accomplish, is a work that involves suffering, it involves rejection, it involves death, and then it involves resurrection. And Jesus' explanation of discipleship comes on the heels of those things. The reality of who he is as the Messiah, the suffering, rejected, dying, and then rising Messiah. And in light of that, he says to us here in verse 23, "If anyone would come after me." So that's the if that needs to be on your mind and on your heart this morning. This is a word for each one of you. If you would follow Jesus, if you would acknowledge who he is as the Christ of God, if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, to come after Jesus means what Jesus says right here. If anyone would come after me, coming after Jesus, following after Jesus is discipleship. This is the Christian life. This is the life of a believer. So what does that look like? What does that entail? And as I said at the beginning, this is the difficult definition of discipleship. We will see why it is difficult right away. We're going to look at this definition in two pieces. The first piece is that the definition that Jesus gives here of the life of a Christian, the life of discipleship, is that it is all-encompassing. It is all-encompassing. Notice these pieces here. In verse 23, Jesus says, on the one hand, this one, anyone who would follow him, who would come after him, must deny himself and on the other hand must take up his cross daily and follow Jesus. This definition of discipleship is all-encompassing. It involves a negative and a positive. The definition of discipleship cannot be separated out into little pieces so that you would have discipleship in this area and not in that area. Discipleship is all-encompassing. We have to be careful because we sometimes define discipleship according to parts of the means of the work of discipleship. So you think of discipleship as sitting across from someone at a coffee table and talking about the things of God and working through your life. And that is part of the life of discipleship, but that is not the totality of discipleship. Discipleship is an all-encompassing, total demand on the wholeness of your being as a person. So let's look at the negative side first of this all-encompassing discipleship. You see there that Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. Repudiation, rejection, disassociation. These are the kinds of things that should be in our mind. You think of Peter. What does Peter do when he denies Jesus later in the gospel? Peter is faced with this question, aren't you one of his disciples? Weren't you with him? And Peter repudiates any knowledge of Jesus, any association with Jesus. He rejects it. He distances himself from Jesus. He disassociates himself from Jesus. This is the demand of discipleship. And it's a demand that is related to ourselves. What does Jesus say? He must deny himself. You must deny yourself to be a disciple of Jesus. See, here's the reality. Isaiah 53:6 lays it out for us so clearly. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, each one after his own way. This is how we need to understand what God's word says about us apart from the saving work of Jesus Christ, is that we are all committed to ourselves. We've gone our own way. There's God's way or every other way, which is our own way. And Jesus says, to be my disciple, to follow me, we must deny ourselves. Every aspect of ourselves that is rejecting God and following a different path, every part of us, which in our sin is the whole of us, that follows the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, we must deny ourselves. Us in our sins, as we worship created things rather than the Creator, as we live thankless lives, as we pursue our own pleasure in sin, as we pursue our own course in self-righteousness, doing things that we think merit the approval of both others and sometimes we think merit the approval of God. All of this, the totality of ourselves in sin and our sinfulness, must be denied, must be rejected, must be repudiated. Self-denial is the call of every Christian. We must reject all of that. Put off all self-righteousness, all self-reliance, all self-indulgence. We must deny ourselves in all of those ways. You see how it is all-encompassing negatively. Self-denial is at the core of the life of a Christian because Jesus Christ will have no rivals. Jesus Christ makes total demands as the Lord and Redeemer of sinful humanity. Jesus Christ will have us bow our knee in every area, in every way, in every aspect of our lives. And that means total self-denial. Everything that would rise up in us to pursue a pleasure apart from Christ, to pursue a righteousness apart from Christ, to pursue a life apart from Christ, must be denied, must be rejected. So that's the negative side. It's all-encompassing negatively. It requires a complete denial of self. But then positively, it requires a complete embrace of the cross every day. The life of discipleship requires a complete embrace of the cross every day. Now, what does that mean? We sometimes skim over words like this because it's familiar in Christian circles, in the Christian life. Take up his cross daily. To try to get back into the hearing of the first readers here, to remember what the cross symbolizes. We're familiar with it. For us, it's the symbol of salvation. In a very real sense, it's a glorious thing in all of its shame and all of its dishonor, but it is the means by which we receive salvation. But the cross is an ugly thing. The cross is an instrument of death. The cross is the means of afflicting the deepest of pains. The means of the Romans to afflict pain and suffering and shame and death upon those who they oppose, upon those who they reject. And so this word would land very hard on the first hearers. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. You may have heard that even speaking about a cross was not something that you did in normal life of this day. This was a shameful, dishonoring, horrible thing. And Jesus says that for those who would follow him, the cross is something that we take up daily, that we carry, that we embrace. And so I think at a minimum, what it means to take up the cross is that we embrace, number one, the opposition of all those who have set themselves against God and his Christ. That's what the cross represented for Jesus. Both the religious rulers and the political rulers had set themselves against God and his Christ, and that meant the cross for Jesus. It means that we embrace the suffering that comes through identifying ourselves with Jesus, through being his people, through confessing his lordship, through embracing his salvation. And it means taking up, embracing the so-called shame and dishonor and rejection that comes by being identified with Jesus and his words, as we'll see a little bit later in the passage. So negatively, we must deny ourselves. We have followed our own way. We have worshipped idols instead of the true and living God. We have pursued the gifts instead of the giver. We have been satisfied with the things instead of seeking ultimate satisfaction in God. And in all that reality, we must deny ourselves. And then, on the other hand, we must take up and embrace the reality of the cross daily, being happy to receive the opposition of religious, of political, of social rulers and people because of our embrace of Jesus and his words. We must be happy to embrace the suffering that comes on account of our embrace of Jesus and his words. We must happy to embrace the shame and the dishonor that's heaped upon the people of God because of our association with Jesus and his words. This is the difficult definition of discipleship. The second part, so that was part one, negatively and positively. And then the second piece, we would just briefly emphasize here, is that this definition is non-negotiable. This is not an add-on to the Christian life for super serious people. This is not something that you kind of, if you want to take it to the next level, you deny yourself and you take up your cross daily. No, this is the Christian life. Look what Jesus says there. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see the words, let him deny himself? That's an imperative. It's a command to each one of us. So you want to follow Jesus, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily. It's all-encompassing, and it's non-negotiable. Must. You must. This is the only Christian life, the life of self-denial and the life of taking up the cross daily. First application that we need to make here is to test ourselves. Is this the definition of discipleship that we have been working with in our lives? Is this the reality that we walk in as we claim to follow Christ, as we claim to confess his name? Have we had some kind of different definition? This is the only definition of discipleship. It's non-negotiable and it's all encompassing. And the second area where we can apply that is when we share the glorious gospel of the God who comes, who takes on flesh to seek and save the lost, to go to the cross for rebels, to lay down his life, to die in the place of sinful, wicked, evil human beings so that he might bring forgiveness and redemption. Not only that, so he might adopt us into his own family, so that he might receive us as sons and daughters, so that he might cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so that he might bring us into the eternal joy of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When we share the glorious good news of Jesus Christ, do we hide these realities? Jesus never shied from the hard truths. Does our gospel have the hard truths? Or do we try to kind of keep them hidden away so that someone will come in? That's foolishness. It's foolishness. You remember when crowds are leaving after Jesus has spoken hard words about the necessity of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. And there they go, the crowds. And Jesus doesn't try to, you know, oh, no, let me explain what I meant and everything. He says to the disciples, so, you guys going to leave too? This is the difficult definition of discipleship, but it's the true definition of discipleship. Jesus encourages people to count the cost when he calls them. Salvation that Jesus accomplishes for us is utterly free. We bring nothing to the table but our own sin and need and uncleanness, and yet it costs us everything. Denying ourselves, taking up our cross daily to follow him. This is a hard word. So Jesus provides three incentives for heeding the hard word. Right there in your living room this morning, in your kitchen, in your chair, wherever you're sitting, you must listen to these words. Jesus is speaking to you right here. He's speaking to you right now. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Three incentives to follow this word. To deny yourself and to take up that cross daily and follow him. Three incentives. Here they are. The first one comes in verse 24. And it is this: the way to life is death. This principle is throughout the scriptures. Remember what Jesus just taught his disciples. Here I go. I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. And here's what that looks like. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed and rise again. The way to life is death. And if that is what it was for our Savior, that is what it is for us as his people. Our cross is not a saving cross. Our cross is not a substitutionary cross. Our cross is not an atoning cross. Our cross is the path. The path that we walk to glory. The way to life is death. Hear the words there in verse 24. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Saving your life looks like the opposite of denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. The one who's trying to save their life, instead of denying themselves, tries to preserve themselves. Instead of setting themselves against all that would pursue pleasure apart from God, all that would worship idols instead of God, all that would seek our own safety and security and happiness in ourselves, that would shrink back from sacrifice, that would shrink back from laying down our own righteousness. All of this, the person who's trying to save their life clings to all of that stuff. They refuse to set themselves against it. And they refuse to embrace the opposition of political rulers, of religious rulers, of societies that are set against God and his Christ. They refuse to take up the suffering that comes from being identified with Jesus Christ and his words. They refuse to embrace the shame that is often heaped upon the people of God because of their identifying with Jesus and his words. But the way to life is death. You try to keep your life and you will lose it. But Jesus says, whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. The way to life is death. Self-denial feels like dying because it is a kind of dying. But as you die, you find your life in Christ. Embracing the cross daily feels like death daily. Paul says, I die daily. Because it is a kind of dying, and sometimes it leads to actual physical dying. But that is the only way to life. The way up is down. The way to life is death. The way to gain is loss. This is the accounting of the Christian life. So that's the first incentive. This is the reality. If you try to preserve your earthly life, you try to preserve your possessions, you try to preserve your physical life, you try to preserve any of these things on your own, you will lose your life ultimately and eternally. But if you lay it all down at the foot of the cross, lose your life for the sake of Jesus, you will save it. The second incentive is this reality. All gain is loss if you trade away what is ultimate. All gain is loss if you trade away what is ultimate. You see the words there that we've been using, verse 24, four. Right? Jesus says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For the way to life is death. Number two, for all gain is loss if you trade what is ultimate. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? All gain is loss if you trade what is ultimate. You can have it all. The approval of the world. The embrace of the political powers of the society. You can have all of the material possessions. You can have all of the honor that is accorded to those who walk in the ways of the world. You can have it all, and it's all loss because it costs you your soul. It costs you your life eternally. You can add it all up, but at the end of the day, when you have to give an account for your life, and in judgment, if you are outside of Christ, you are cast into hell. All the money, all the power, all the fame, all the honor is worthless. Cannot be traded to gain back your soul. So this is why you must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow Jesus. All gain is lost if you trade what is ultimate for it. And number three, the third incentive is this sobering reality that we have a choice between shame temporarily or eternally. Choice between shame temporarily or eternally. Verse 26 says, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory, in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. You must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily. Because if you're ashamed of Christ and his words now, he will be ashamed of you forever. This is a sobering word. And the incentive to self-denial and taking up your cross is the bringing in of that day. that day when Jesus will return in glory. And what will happen on that day is everything will be apparent. Everything that is now hidden. When you are mocked because you name the name of Christ, when you are mocked or scorned because you stand on his words, whether it's what he says about salvation by faith alone, grace alone, in him alone, whether it's what you stand on his words about the reality of hell and of sin and of judgment, whether you're standing on his words about the depravity of humanity in our fallen state, whether it's you standing on his words about male and female and what he calls us to, whether you're standing on his words about any of these things, the shame that you experience now, the embrace of that cross daily now, it's going to be all reversed when he comes in all of his glory, in all of his splendor, in all of his majesty and honor. And you will stand in him. But those who are ashamed of him and his words now, on that day, that temporary shame that they were pulling back from, and they refused to deny themselves, they refused to take that cross, be shown in all of its ugly and worthlessness as the Son is ashamed of those who act in that way. So we have to choose temporary or eternal shame in the path of discipleship. So let the honor of Christ be the flavor in your life of discipleship. When we account things as they really are according to the word of God, then we too, like the disciples, they heard this word and they embraced it. And as we see them in the book of Acts walking in the power of the Spirit, we see this reality at work. They're tortured and they're beaten. And they rejoice because they're counted worthy. They weigh things as they really are. Brothers and sisters, friends, we must weigh things as they really are in the workplace, in the home, in our families, in the world, even as a church. Let us walk the difficult path of discipleship, denying ourselves and taking up our cross daily. Jesus says this final word in verse 27, but I tell you, truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Here he gives that glimpse. Things look really bad in the life of discipleship. It's a self-denying, cross-bearing life, but we get glimpses of the kingdom. Glimpses they're going to get very shortly in the transfiguration as Jesus is unveiled before them. Glimpses that we get in his resurrection. Glimpses that we get as he promises to return and show us the fullness of all that he has done for us. So, do you want to follow Jesus? This is the way. If you would come after Jesus, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily and follow him. Let's pray. Father, we simply ask that we would walk in genuine discipleship by the power of your Spirit, that we would be a self-denying, gladly cross-bearing people for your glory, for our joy. Amen.